My name is Linda, and I'm the children's pastor here at North Shore Alliance Church, and I'm just excited that you're all here. We've been having a great fall with great messages on who God is and what he has for us, and this morning we're going to continue in that. And so over the past few weeks, we've been looking at God's plan for this world and our part in that plan. We know and have been learning that Jesus desires to restore his kingdom here on earth. And this is a kingdom that is going to break into our broken world. Jesus came to usher in this kingdom. It's a kingdom where Jesus reigns and rules. It's a kingdom where his way is the only way. And that's just it. His way is the only way. So this morning we're going to be looking at what this kingdom looks like, what shape it takes, what do the people of the kingdom look like. The disciples, they were wrestling with this very same question. In the book of Matthew, we find a story in Matthew 18 where the disciples were challenged to figure out, what does this kingdom look like? What do the people of the kingdom look like? And they asked Jesus a question. They said, which among us is the greatest in your kingdom? Now, by a show of hands, how many of you have ever wanted to be the greatest at something, anything? Okay, that's good. We're being honest. I like that. You know, I've definitely wanted to be the greatest at something, and I wanted to share a story, and I kept thinking brother story. And then I was like, my brother's not here to defend himself. That's not very nice. And so I'm going to tell a story about when I went on holidays with my friend. And my friend is very brave. She's an adventurer. And we went on holidays together. And I had never, ever, ever wanted to water ski or wakeboard or wake skate until she said, I want to try that. And I thought, I want to try that too. And then she got on behind the boat, and she got up on her very first try. And I was like, I can get up on my first try too. And so in 5 days, I learned 4 different water sports, which I had never, ever in my life desired to do. But I have to tell you, she's better at all of them than I am. But she is really motivating because I wanted to be the greatest. We've all wanted to be the greatest. We've all felt that feeling before. The disciples asked Jesus this question. Who is the greatest? And Jesus had an answer for them. It's in Matthew 18. He looked at a child. If you're a kid and you're in this room, stand up right where you are. Awesome. Everybody else, look at them. He looked at a child and said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like one of these children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of a child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. It's a pretty strong statement. These guys, they wanted to be the greatest. They wanted to do their best. They wanted to give their all. And these are good things. But they were fighting for it. And Jesus said, the strong words he uses are, you need to change. Unless you change, you will never enter the kingdom of God. That has to hurt a little bit. It has to hurt. Because he looked at these kids and he said, don't try to be the greatest. Try to be one of these kids. That's amazing. The core of Jesus' rebuke is that we each have something to learn from our children. Kids have something to teach us. Whether we're young adults or teenagers or grown-ups, our kids have something to teach us. Perhaps you've heard this before, but how often do you think this way? How often do we take this seriously? This morning, we've decided to take Jesus at his word. We've decided to believe that our children have something to teach us and to trust that they will lead us into the kingdom of heaven this morning. Last week, we interviewed some of our kids, and we asked them the question, what do the grown-ups need to know about following Jesus? Let's take a listen and hear what they have to say.
But if there's an earthquake and, an electrical pole falls on your car, don't get out of the car.
Well, I think Al should know that, we can all believe in God, and it doesn't matter how old you are.
He loves them,
and he'll forgive anybody who does sins, they need to know?
He loved it.
Don't swear, because he's always with you.
Do you think parents swear in the car?
No.
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
Does your dad swear in the car?
No.
Okay.
No, my dad.
So you think that adults need to pray more?
Yeah, so they can learn more about Jesus.
What happens when we pray?
We pray to God so He can pray to us.
So He speaks to us when we speak to Him?
Yes.
Okay.
That Jesus, if we do something wrong, He'll always still love us.
Yeah, totally.
Like when my mom had a baby, it really hurt it, but then she forgot about how much it hurt.
He died for our sins.
Daddy made us.
Daddy made me.
He can help you. Like, let's say you're scared or something, you can pray to Him and it'll go away. Because that's happened to me before and it actually works.
He presented us with trees to breathe and plants to eat and... Oh, and meat eaters and plant eaters keep the world balanced.
God's always caring.
We need to thank Him and
that all adults should know that He loves you and that He loves, like, everyone. It doesn't matter how you are and you don't really need to change.
And I think they need to know about His love and how He loves everyone, not just, like, one person from another. He loves everybody.
Well, they need to buy the latest clothes and look perfect for God to love them. God sees what's on your inside more than what's on your outside.
That Jesus loves you.
Don't be ashamed of the gospel.
Some people don't know about Jesus, so if we could, we'd go out somewhere and teach them that Jesus is the one that died on the cross for us.
They're scared of preaching and telling people because people might be, like, mean to them.
Right? Keeping the Bible beside me. I actually bring it, like, everywhere I go. I like Psalms 23, how Jesus is the Lord, is our shepherd, and we shouldn't be afraid to go anywhere without Him.
To know that Jesus forgives us no matter what we do bad and what we do good.
Even if they make mistakes, He'll still love them.
Do you think parents and adults make mistakes?
Yeah.
What kind of mistakes do adults make?
Well, sometimes they forget to fill in paperwork. Right, Mom?
Worshiping Jesus is a good thing. Because then you can talk to Him.
You can have more fun when you do it, when you worship. It probably feels better instead of just having to stand there and just sing. You could get, like, the adults to do the actions, waving flags, something like that.
Maybe a little more, maybe not just at dinner time or not just before bed, maybe at lunch time or at in the morning or when you're going grocery shopping.
Sometimes if I got really mad, I would just pummel them.
You're going into something different.
Okay. So don't fight. God is always with you. See you later.
I think the best part about making that video was the dirt that we dug up on some families. I'm just joking. It was, but there were some profound things there if we really listen, isn't there? Some things to learn about how we function, the way we want to be, have it all together and look perfect, and some things that God's speaking to my own heart. But when we reflect on what Jesus is saying here in Matthew 18, what is He trying to teach us? What does he want us to know about being his kingdom people? Do you know what sets kids apart from the rest of us? From the rest of adults or young adults or youth? Well, perhaps not youth, and I'll tell you why. What sets them apart is kids are so unashamedly needy, right? They need things, and they're not afraid to say it. They never question the fact that they need somebody to make them dinner. They don't question the fact that they need somebody to teach them to tie their shoes. They're dependent on somebody to put a roof over their head. I don't know, like when I was a youth, I was always asking my parents for money. I still am, I guess. But, right? But kids are so unashamedly needy. And the posture that they take up in life is one like this, right? Hands out. And essentially, the posture of a child is one where they say, I need you. I can't do it on my own. But we know that as we grow up, we move from this posture of need to more a posture like this. I can do it on my own. I don't need anyone. I don't need anything. We're an independent people. And while this is part of the natural progression of growing up, I think there's something dark inherent in this posture. There's something that stops us from becoming God's kingdom people in this posture that we need to pay attention to. And standing at the core of all of these things, why do we become people in this posture of independence? Well, I'm sure there are many reasons for it. But one of the things I've been thinking about these days is, I think at the heart of this is a desire to be people who can control things. We want to be people who can control our destiny, who can shape our own future. You see, if we're people that don't need anybody else, then the only thing standing between us and a glorious future is ourselves, right? And we can check out books from the library that tell us how to unlock our own potential. There's a sense in which we want control. We want to be able to do it ourselves. We don't want to have to rely on anyone else. And so we want to control our future. And I wonder, for you, do you feel like you're somebody who needs to be in control? That if you just work hard enough, or you just do all the right things, that you can make a great future for yourself? Well, I think something like this was going on in Matthew 18 with the disciples. You see, they go to Jesus, and it's as though they think that their hard work will result in their greatness in the kingdom. They think that the things that they do will bring them to greatness in the kingdom. But what they didn't realize was that God's kingdom is for people who have given up control. God's kingdom is for people who come to him needy, dependent, like a child. And this is what Jesus is trying to teach us here. That his kingdom is for people who say, I can't do it on my own. I can't sort out the brokenness of my own life. I can't pay the penalty for my own sin and the things I've done wrong. I can't make it right. I can't restore my life and this world to the way it's meant to be. And being people of the kingdom is coming to Jesus and saying, I can't do it, but you can. Only Jesus can. People of the kingdom are people who come to him and say, we put our faith in Jesus because he's the only way to sort out our broken lives, to pay the penalty for our sin, and to restore the brokenness that we find ourselves and our world in. Unless you take up a lowly position like a child, you will never enter the kingdom of God. And so I'm sure our kids have many things to teach us this morning, but the one I want to draw our attention to is our posture. To be people of great need, because we need Jesus. We don't like to admit our neediness. But I think if we're honest, we've found out that doing it on our own never works. And so if this is news to you, if you've never considered following Jesus, today's an opportunity to make a decision. To say, I can no longer do this on my own. I need someone to rescue me from my own sin, from my own brokenness. And I encourage you today that as we come to the communion table to make that decision, to commit who you are, all that you are, to following him. But if you've been following him for a long time, we have so much to learn from our kids about our posture. And I want to ask, what are the things that God's asking you to give up control of? What are the things that he wants you to come in a deep need to him for? Let me just pray. Father, we just thank you that you have sent Jesus, because without him, we are without hope. But you sent your son to take our sin on his shoulders and to pay the penalty of death, which we deserved. What grace. Thank you. And we thank you that as Jesus paid the penalty for our sin and death, we thank you that he didn't stay dead, but that he rose from the dead. And that's what you have for us too. That we're not destined to death, but we have life eternal with you beginning today. With you. And we look forward with great hope to that day, that eternal day that is coming, where we will be with you forever and ever. Thank you, Jesus, for making it possible. We bless you.